service, invite you to take your hymnal, turn to hymn number 243. Come Thy Fount of Every Blessing.
Us through another week, another day, and gives us this privilege, this side of eternity, to worship Him and to hear His Word. I asked Brother Norm this week if he could think of this verse that kept hanging on my mind about the Word of God being more than our necessary bread or necessary food. And that is what it is. It's more than our necessary bread. We can do without physical bread, but we can't do without the bread of life. We want to pray for each one that's been sick. We pray for Olivia. We pray for Shelby, who's had the surgery, and Peggy, and others that have been sick. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 2. Psalm 2. David oftentimes asks a question, and then the Lord not only gives him the question, but the answer. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves together, set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then he shall speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Let's pray. Our Father, tonight we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, and that one mediator between yourself and men. We ask, Lord, that we might be filled with the knowledge, that we might be moved in the contemplation of your greatness and glory. How could we read such a psalm and not feel the thought of your majesty and greatness? Only those who are dead, spiritually dead, can hear such words and not be in fear, not be moved with fear, so as to acknowledge you as you are. We pray, Lord, that you would help us tonight. We thank you that in a good providence you bring us to this hour. We thank you that you have brought this choice servant to preach to us the unsearchable riches of Christ. Lord, we thank you that you put it in our heart to be here. We thank you that you drew us to this place for whatever our reason might have been. But we pray that you might have drawn us to this hour, that you might be gracious to us. Open our hearts that we might receive thy word. Give us, Lord, that understanding that we are in desperate need of, that salvation, that eternal life that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for these that are here tonight. We ask that you might grant them the special blessing of your presence. that we might rejoice in Christ Jesus at the hearing of your precious word, that we might assemble with those of like precious faith and glorify and magnify your great name and Son. Lord, we ask that you would help these that are sick, all their various afflictions. Lord, they all seem so great to us. But the healing of them, just like the giving of them, is all in your hand. You're able to kill and make alive. You're able to bring down and raise up. We simply, Lord, bow and pray for grace that we might submit to that good and perfect will, to your wisdom, to your word, as you have promised only good to your people. We ask, Lord, tonight that you would bless those who might watch on the live stream, those that would hear on the CD, whatever. We thank you that these means of communicating the truth are available to us. We pray that you, by your Spirit, would communicate it to those that hear. And we thank you for Brother Norm Wells and for his faithfulness to preach, for his good spirit and for his fellowship and friendship and for all that you have blessed us with through him. We thank you for Nancy, for allowing her to be here tonight and in this place. And we just rejoice that you bring each one, our guests, together, and we thank you. We just praise your name. We know that all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. And we pray that you would, in our day, in this place, move by your Spirit to give life and to give that faith that only you can give to those who are yet in unbelief. We pray that you'd give us more grace, that we might rejoice in Christ Jesus, our precious Lord and Savior. And we thank you, and we ask all things in his name. Amen.
Hymn number 619. A shelter in the time of storm.
till my grace unsought, my rebel soul was caught, redeemed by love that would not be denied.
Thinking about it, and that last hymn that we sung, this world is really a weary land, and the hymn said Jesus is a rock in a weary land, and if you don't have him, you've just got a weary land. That's all there is. You've just got a weary land. Brother Norman Wells is a pastor of the church in the Dalles, Oregon. And I know he's glad to be here tonight, because he's glad to be anywhere it isn't smoky. So, we were just glad he was able to fly out of the smoke and get our way. He's a dear friend. His wife Nancy's here. We're just thankful. Come bless us.
It is a delight to be with you again. Nancy and I have enjoyed every trip we've made here. And I enjoy it more when Nancy comes with me. There's a couple of verses of scripture in the book of Matthew chapter 1 that I appreciate, I think, almost every day these verses go through my mind, so would you turn with me for just two verses in the book of Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And in that same chapter, verse 25, and knew her not, Joseph knew her not, until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Jesus means Jehovah is Savior. What a name. Jesus, Jehovah is Savior. Now I'd like to spend some time on a name above every name tonight. And if you would join me back in the Psalms again, I have several verses of scripture I'd like to read. And in Psalm 20, would you turn there with me? Now I want to preface this by saying that I trust when you hear your pastor's name, you don't think of four letters. G-A-R-Y. Because Pastor Gary is much more than four letters. That name represents that person that you dearly love and I have grown to love so dearly. That name represents. When I hear the name Gary Shepherd, I think of your pastor and his faithfulness to the gospel and his love for Christ and his declaration of the gospel. And that should be with all of us. Our name represents a person. So as we turn here in the book of Psalm 20 and verse 7, the scriptures share this. Some trust in chariots. Now this is a metaphor for anything else that anybody trusts besides the Lord Jesus Christ. Some trust in chariots. They were a powerful instrument of warfare at one time. They were the cutting edge. They were the tanks of their day. And there were a lot of folks, when they got into political trouble, called on those things from their neighbors to come over and help them. And God uses this metaphor to speak about people who have a tendency of running to someone else when they get into trouble. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. Now that was a cutting edge critter. I've read a lot about the Native Americans here in the Midwest, and their lives changed when the Spaniards left them horses. They were a different folk, and they were a feared folk. And here we have some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. When God's people are made God's people in their heart. Now, we've always been God's people, but thank God, in time, he addresses that knowledge to us and gives us the new birth. And we know him as Father, and as a result of that, we're given a capability of looking to him not only as G-O-D or J-E-S-U-S, but looking at him as our God. And that is the one that we are compelled by the Holy Spirit to trust with all our salvation. We will not and we cannot trust horses or chariots, all right? As it tells us there, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Just a little bit further here in the book of the Psalms, Psalm 113, verses 1, 2, and 3. Psalm 113, verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants, the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. And when we read that about the Lord's name, it is to remind us of a person, the Holy God of heaven, we'll be reminded of the only Savior, all of the characteristics and attributes of God Almighty. That is who we're looking to when we're called on to remember His name. And then if you turn with me over to the book of Psalm 148. In Psalm 148 and verse 13, Psalm 148 and verse 13, it says, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent." What does that mean? His being is excellent. His person is excellent. His ministry is excellent. His salvation is excellent. His blood is excellent. His word is excellent. Everything about Him is excellent, because that is what is summed up in the name of the Lord Jesus. His glory is above the earth and heaven. What a declaration we find in the Scriptures about the God who saves His people from their sins. And finally, if you'd look with me in the book of Micah, in the book of Micah, Micah chapter 4 and verse 5, there's one verse I want to read there before we move on. Micah chapter 4, and there in verse 5, the Scripture says, "For all people will walk after," "for all people will walk everyone in the name of His." Did you notice that the translators gave us a little G-O-D? "For all people will walk everyone in the name of His God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever." There is a dividing line right there. Everyone. Natural man, everywhere across the world, has this characteristic about them: they will follow a little god. But God's people will worship God and find solace in His name. Now, if you take the time to look up on the web, you'll find out there's a website that lists 950 names and titles found in our translation of the Bible. I went down through there and I says, I didn't know how many there are. 950. And they start with Abba and they end up with Zur. Now, Abba means daddy and Zur means stone. And they're all appropriate with regards to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there is a name that I have run onto in the book of Zechariah. We've been studying the book of Zechariah, so I want to ask you to turn with me to the book of Zechariah at this moment. And I would like to read the first three verses. Now, in this book of Zechariah, there is a name of the Lord mentioned 53 times, and three times it's found in verse 3. Zechariah, for its size, has more times that this name is mentioned than all the other books. Jeremiah and Isaiah have more, but they're considerably larger. And this name is found almost 280 times in the Old Testament. And the name is Lord of Hosts. Lord of Hosts. Now, there is something about that name that God wants His people to know about God. And I am convinced that when we are brought to ourself in regeneration, when we're brought to Christ, that He reveals some of this to us, because we are able to call on Him as Saul did on the road to Damascus and use a word that we'd never used before with regard to God. We would take it as a name in vain, but Saul was able to declare, "Lord!" And what did that mean to him? It meant to him that God had revealed Himself in such a capacity that He is the Master, Lord, Sovereign King. And from the very beginning, Saul of Tarsus understood that. And I'm convinced that there is some degree of that given to every believer, that He is Lord of Hosts, that He is the mighty God, and it took Him to save us from our sins. not that little G-O-D, but it takes the great, mighty Lord of hosts to do that. So here in the book of Zechariah, it's a wonderful book. Zechariah to me was like Leviticus, a flyover book. Whoosh, in my daily Bible readings, you know. Well, recently I was, where am I going to go, Lord? And he said, Zechariah. And now I've told the folks in the Dalles, I don't think I'll ever get through it. It is so full and running over of the rich blessings of Jesus Christ the Savior. Several songs that we sing from the heart are found in words from this book. That great hymn, Nothing But the Blood, and there is a fountain filled with blood, is found in this book. All right, Zechariah chapter 1. And this book is not end times, it's present times. This is speaking to us today. It's not something that's going to declare what's going to happen in the future, but it's happening now. All right. In the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah. Can you imagine that? That the Lord God of heaven would speak to a man. I am amazed that he would do that for us. That he would send his precious word down to humanity. Send it down to this earth. And it was his word. And that's truly the dividing line made in this world today. What think ye of Christ? And that truly boils down to, what think you of his word? Is it given by Almighty God? Or was it speculation given by some writers? Well, God's people know it was given by the word, by the very word of God. Here it says he's the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, and the prophet saying, he could probably trace his line right back to Adam if he wanted to. But you know what it shares with me? God spoke to a descendant of Adam, and that's by grace. A descendant of Adam. A fallen creature of Adam. And God would come to him in this miracle of his word and speak to him. And it says here in verse 2, and the Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers. Therefore say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts. There's that name. First time found in this book. And 53 more times in this 14 short chapters is this name found. And we're dealing with the Almighty God speaking to Zechariah to speak to the people. You know what happens every Wednesday and every Sunday here? God speaks to a man to speak to his people the word of God. It's the same thing that happens when God's preachers stand wherever they're called to do and declare the word of God. If you go to your neighbor and you tell them about the message of Jesus Christ in truth and sincerity, the word of God, you are a man taking the message of God to someone who doesn't know it. That's exactly what Zechariah was called to do. He is a messenger from God. God spoke to him, and God spoke to him directly, and God gave him the message to say, and you know what? Zechariah was not called on to go to the right hand or to the left hand with this word. He was to deliver it just as he received it, and that's exactly what he did, because it was the Lord of hosts that gave it to him. And he recognizes this. He recognizes it's the Lord of hosts. There in verse 3, therefore say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts. And I could just see Zechariah, his whole thought, Lord, to me, I'm to give this a fallen creature. And then God, the Holy Spirit, would remind him, just like he does everyone else that he has ever saved by his grace, You are mine. I've called you out of a pit, and you will be my servant. Turn, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Three times in that verse of scripture, this name Lord of hosts occurs these many times in this book. It's a title for God which has royal and military overtones. The name is used to emphasize the mighty power of God. It is this mighty God that is mentioned in this book 53 times, and Zechariah was called on to declare it unto these people. The Lord of hosts is delivering this message, using the Son of Adam to deliver this message to a whole bunch of people that don't even know a thing about God, and yet they are called the nation of Israel. When this the translators brought this name of God, Lord of hosts, into our translation, into English, it has been translated various ways: Lord of armies, Lord Almighty, Jehovah of hosts, Lord of the heavenly armies, and Lord who rules over all. That's who Zechariah is serving. And that is the one that saves his people from their sins. We find in the book of Daniel, chapter 4. Would you turn there with me? Back up just a little bit to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 4 shares with us through the mouth of a pagan king one of the most comprehensive definitions of this glorious name that we find in scriptures in such a succinct manner. The book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 4. You know where I'm going. You know where I'm going, because this king had been turned out to pasture, and he spent 7 years out to pasture, and he was a sight. But when he came, he got his mind back. This is the first thing he says. Daniel chapter 4, verse 34. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand, or saith unto him, what doest thou? Now that's the Lord of hosts. Amen. That is the Lord of hosts. If we took that, we could spend a year just going through those two verses as it describes the very being that came to Zechariah with that word to give. And it's the same being that came to the other writers of the Old Testament and to the New Testament. And it is the same being that comes down and saves his people from their sins. This is an almighty one. This is an almighty, glorious one. This is a heavenly one. This is a capital G, capital O, capital D, God. This is the Lord of hosts that we're dealing with. This is who came down in majesty and honor. This is the one that that pagan king, Nebuchadnezzar, was able to describe better than we can sometimes, but we rest on the words that the Holy Spirit gave to him, and we say, yay and amen. He is the high and holy one. He is the high and lifted up one. And he's the one that comes down to this sin-cursed earth and deals with lost men and women that he had in the covenant of grace before the foundation of the world, whose names were written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, engraved on the palms of his hands, and the one he came that came down to save his people from their sins. Lord of hosts. Lord of hosts, a name which is above every name. We find the first time that this name is used in Scripture is by a man by the name of Elkiah. Would you turn over to the book of 1 Samuel? 1 Samuel chapter 1. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, there's a man, and you know the Bible is very clear. He was a man who had two wives. One of them was barren and one of them wasn't. And he comes down, 1 Samuel, he comes down to worship yearly. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 3. And he says here, and this man went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. You know, this man went up out of this city yearly to do this. And it is noteworthy that Elkanah, the father of Samuel, understood more about the Lord of hosts than these two priests did. He went up there to offer sacrifices unto the Lord of hosts. You know what it meant when these folks in the Old Testament offered sacrifices just like we find Abel did? They're declaring to the world, I am a sinner in need of a substitute. I am a sinner. They're not doing this for holiness. They're doing this to declare, I am a sinner in need of a substitute. Someone to stand in my place who could take the punishment that's due me. And that's what Elkanah was doing here. He said, and he came up to worship the Lord of hosts. The second time that this name is mentioned is also found here in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and beginning with verse 9. It says, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Now that L-O-R-D is Jehovah. It's capital all through. That's Jehovah. Now notice here. And she vowed a vow and said, I know you more. There's so many names and titles in the Bible with regard to the God of the Bible. And two of them are found here. One is Jehovah, and the other one is Jehovah of armies. And that represents the high almighty God. She knew him. She knew the almighty God. And it tells us here, she vowed about, O Lord of hosts, the only one that can help me in the trouble I'm in is the Lord of hosts. This priest can't help me. His sons can't help me. My husband can't help me. But, oh, Lord of hosts, you can help me because you are Lord of armies, Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of all that is in heaven and all that is in the earth and all that is under the earth. You're God of all things. If thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thy handmaid, but wilt give unto thy handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And then the preacher accuses her of drinking in church. You know the amazing thing about that whole thing? She didn't get up and get mad because she had the Lord of hosts. She said, not so, Lord. I poured out my soul to the Lord. Joshua was met by one as he surveyed Jericho. Oh, he said, are you for us or are you against us? He says, but as captain of the hosts of the Lord, I am Lord of hosts. And this I'll do for you. I'm going to give you Jericho. You walk around it, but I'm going to give you Jericho. And that was the way it went every step as they claimed the land that God had given to national Israel. Every step they took, the Lord of hosts was with them, took care of them, babysat them, the Lord of hosts. And I'm thankful that he still babysits his people. We need it at times. We need that special comfort from the Lord of hosts. And he is the only one that can do what is necessary when we need to be babysat. Because he's our father. Amen. And he's our daddy father. He's Abba father. He's Lord of hosts. David called upon this glorious name as he went out against Goliath. That's the only way David could win that battle. The Lord of hosts, he said there, David, call it, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. And Goliath is gone from the scene. I'm so thankful that in respect to this, in a metaphorical sense, the Lord Jesus Christ came up to insurmountable odds that were against us. Great giants against us. All the attacks that was against us. Every reason possible that God shouldn't save us. And he came up against it and says, I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he overcame every enemy that was against the church. And every enemy that was against God himself. And won victoriously over every enemy that came up. A host of the enemy had encamped against a prophet. His name was Elisha. Boy, he wasn't worth a plug nickel in the estimation of the king. I'm going to take him and I'm going to thrash him. And one of this man's caretakers, servants, says, I'm just scared to death. Because he looked out there and saw all the enemy round about. And you know what Elisha did? He prayed for him. Prayed for him. He says, open his eyes that he may see. And it says, the mountains was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. The Lord of hosts had intervened. The host of the enemy. But the Lord of hosts is greater than any host of the enemies. The mountains are full. You know, in Zechariah, it talks about chapter 2 and verse 5. It says, for I, saith the Lord, will be unto her, unto the church, a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. One more statement about the Lord of hosts. I'll be a wall of fire around the church. And besides that, I'll camp right in the middle with them. That's what he does. He is a wall of fire around the church. He is the Lord of hosts, camped on the behalf of his people. He went to the cross on the behalf of his people. And he camps with them daily on the behalf of his people. And he pleads on the behalf of his people. And he defends us on the behalf of his people. Because he is the Lord of hosts, the Almighty God. He is so much different than the God of this world. He is so much different than what we had in religion because we found him unable to do most of what we needed done. But when God comes and saves his people from their sins, we find out that there's a God that can take care of everything that was necessary. Every requirement that God ever had, Jesus Christ fulfilled it completely because he is the Lord of hosts. He's that mighty God throughout the scriptures. Isaiah, would you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 1? This is a wonderful verse of scripture that starts this wonderful book of Isaiah. And in that chapter 1, it tells us if it wasn't for, notice with me here, Isaiah chapter 1, and there in verse 9, here's that name again. Except, now I like that word right there, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant. The Lord of hosts did that. We should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Now that's what we should have had. But except for the Lord of hosts, we would have been. that Almighty God, that Savior God, that name which is above every name, that name you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. This one, the Lord of hosts, is with us. It is the Lord of hosts that shall bless his people. And what did our dear Savior do in his public ministry? As we follow him through in just a very quick overview, he controlled the weather. He stilled the sea. Simple thing like that. You know who brought that smoke into the Dalles? The Lord of hosts. And that great storm you had here just recently. Someone mentioned on TV the other day that Mother Nature is angry. That's a person who doesn't know the Lord of hosts. Now, sometimes the Lord of hosts' way is way above our way, isn't it? Most of the time. All the time. The Lord of hosts' way is way above our way. He summoned demons out of folks. That's the Lord of hosts. I hear talk about people going doing that. Oh my goodness. That's a farce. That's a fake. That's just trying to get attention. It's only the Lord of hosts that can deal with the spirit of man. It is only the Lord of hosts that can raise the dead. It is only the Lord of hosts that can take that which we have been accustomed to living like and giving us something different. He silenced Satan. You know, I've been talking to people, and Satan is almost omniscient to most people. And omnipresent. And omnipotent. And to the scriptures, he's just God Satan. The Lord of hosts, Satan. That's all he is. He drew a heavenly host to his birth. He's the Lord of hosts. He put soldiers on their back at his word. I am. Those who came to arrest him, they're in the dust. Because the Lord of hosts has said two words, I am. He healed the sick. He called the dead to life. And he saved sinners from their sins. The Lord of hosts. Jesus Christ said just before he ascended back to the Father, and that to us is the most wonderful statement. He came out of that tomb. He paid the entire price, and now he could say with authority, just as he did at the cross, it is finished. I'm right here. Raised from the dead. Just before he ascended back to the Father, he told his disciples, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The Lord of hosts is his name. This wonderful declaration is made in the presence of his disciples, past, present, and future. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. This one is able to save all his to the uttermost. He shall save all his elect ones, and of all them he shall lose nothing. He's the Lord of hosts. He has power to keep all of them without losing one. And then we find a number of times in the New Testament that God works a work of grace, he says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Who's done that? The Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. Brother Gary.
I'm glad I was here to hear that tonight. The Amen. Lord of hosts.
Amen.
Sometimes people talk about what we believe, and it's if they say that those folks just think he's going to save a handful, but he's the Lord of hosts. He's not just the Lord of a few. He's had a people out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and he came to save them, and he will save them from all their sins.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your word, for those that you enable to magnify you and speak of your greatness and glory. Lord, this is a weary land, but you're the Lord over this weary land and control all things. And in the midst of it, you save your people from their sins. That your majestic name, that's your glory, that's your what you're known for in the Bible is saving your people. Who can't save themselves and saving them from all their sins. We thank you tonight for the one who's brought this message. We pray that your spirit would take and apply it to our hearts. That you would bless our time together and glorify your name in our midst. For we ask it in that name of the Lord of hosts. Amen.